Welcome back. So we talked about talking to people, but in some ways there's an organization to talking to people that we probably have to pay attention to if we wanted to have a ministry biz.
But before we get to that, I want to know if you listened to the lecture on talking to people. Did you go out and try to do it?
Oh.
Right? Because we're giving you all this information, but it's just going to go in here. It has to somehow go out there. So hopefully as you're listening to these things, you're starting to put some of them into practice.
Right, and getting confidence is you got to practice.
Right.
Because if you're not confident, you're right. Not going to do it.
So just like anything, any skill, skills are things that you learn. You have
right.
a personality maybe you're born with, but a skill is something that is just based on experience. If
right.
you do it enough times, you can learn it.
Right. Okay.
So we're going to talk about organizing your speaking to people. So we're going to talk about contact management.
Okay.
What is contact management? Contact management is the process of tracking with the intent of pursuing a growing relationship with someone towards a specific goal or purpose.
Wow, that is, when Pam proofread this, she said, that's a really long sentence, but I can't take out any words.
Well,
my wife proofread it's a long sentence, so,
It's the process, right? We're talking to people, okay? So we can just randomly talk to people, curious questions.
Right.
But a lot of times when we just do things in a random way, it doesn't add up to anything.
Right, right.
Whereas when you're focused on something, if you're in a business and you're trying to talk to a client about your business, you're not talking about everything under the sun.
Right.
Your goal is to help him with his particular problem,
right.
and you think what your company does will help them.
Right.
So, but talking... is sort of a repeated endeavor
right.
that things happen over a longer period of time. Now, a lot of the contact management we have going in life is just natural. For example,
right.
the contact management system that I have in my home with my wife is we live in the same home.
Right.
So we sleep in the same bed.
Right.
So every day I see her, we have breakfast together. We have certain activities that we do together. It doesn't matter what we end up doing in a day, we end up coming to that same place. Our home, in some ways, is our management system
yeah.
that keeps the conversation going and going and going. And over a long period of time, we have a relationship that's strong and we know each other and we can meet each other's needs.
Right.
And that's true in ministry. It's true in business as well.
Right. So we've talked many times about the wheel. So the wheel of your marriage, the proximity of the contact manager is the home.
Right.
So, but you actually, if you lived 1,000 miles apart, that would not be good.
No. So then you would need a different... So some married couples are like that,
yeah.
right? They live in two different states or two different areas. I have some friends in the Philippines who, the wife is in the Philippines and the husband works on a cruise ship, and he's gone for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do they... What's their contact management
system? Their proximity
well,
they
right.
create.
So yeah. they're on some kind of a Skype thing, or
yep.
they're emailing each other, or their Facebook thing, and they see. So they have to find a way to manage their contact.
Everybody has to do that.
Right. So some examples are ministry, whether it's discipleship or evangelism. Evangelism and discipleship are ongoing things. You don't just disciple someone with one conversation.
Right.
Discipleship is a multi-conversational system. And how are you going to do that? How do you manage
right.
that? If you just sort of randomly do it, it doesn't happen.
Right.
And the same thing with evangelism. You start a conversation with someone and then you never talk to them again.
Right.
How does it work? Dating, same thing. It's
right.
a process of relationship building or a business. It's always a process of relationship, and something has to manage it, or it
right.
ends up falling apart.
You know, interesting, I remember you years ago saying, like, what is the difference between discipleship and evangelism? Mm. And in the proximity of that. So a contact manager for discipleship is often the program of the church where you come and you
right.
come to the Bible study.
Right.
You know,
we
and
worship every Sunday.
Yeah, so it's sort of, enabled easily.
Yes, because church in some ways is a contact management system.
Yes, it is. Right. But evangelism, if you're not intentional
right.
about it.
Right.
There's not an easy proximity. It's
no.
like two people living 1,000 miles apart.
Right.
You have to be intentional
yes.
about that kind
right.
of management proximity.
Right. So churches often have a lot of discipleship, contact management
yeah.
going on, but they have very little in the evangelism department, like, you know, having monthly fun times to invite people, having...
Right.
You know, curious questions that are going to go out. Handing out Bibles with your church's cover on it so that people...
Right.
In other words, enabling the people of your church to have excuses to manage their contact with people that they're trying to reach. A lot of times churches sort of fall short on that
right.
side of it.
I mean, I love a lot of the ministry biz opportunity is that you could be transparent that... a ministry or a contact managing process, if you are interested in things like Bibles, if you're interested in being a mailing list for a discussion group at the coffee shop, just sign up here. So they will actually opt in
right.
to
yeah,
the system willingly.
Right.
Okay.
What was that Gumball guy?
Oh, wait a minute. What Gumball?
Remember the guy in we met in England, he had that.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
System? Alpha Course.
Okay, the Alpha Course was sort of like that. It was sort of a system to invite non-church people to, and it was over several weeks.
Yeah.
So that was like a contact management system for
yeah.
evangelism.
Evangelism, yeah.
Okay, so why is this whole contact system necessary? The principle of little by little. Proverbs 13, verse 11, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So there's a principle of the little by little.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people want to get rich quick, and that forces them into all kinds of crazy things, and
right.
people end up...
phony relationships that are, like,
yeah,
made
right,
by...
Right.
Yeah.
So that principle of little by little... in terms of relationships. I mean, if you think about often for people dating, you know, trying to find their mate, it's a process, and you discover who we are, each other is little by little.
Right.
Over time, and even after you get married, it's still a little by little process. You learn
right.
how to walk little by little. You learn how to talk little by little.
Right.
You develop friendships little
by
little.
Yeah.
So the reason why contact management is necessary is because most relationships grow little by little.
Right.
And it doesn't happen all in one shot.
No.
So,
trust takes time.
If you think about friendship, Henry, you know, your early friends you made at school.
Right.
And school was a contact management system.
Yes.
You met with that same group 5
right.
days a week. For 9 months.
Right. Even if you shared nothing in common with worldview, nothing in common
yes.
in your faith, you're with them and you get to know them.
And somehow over time, you ended up with friends. The contact management system that brought us together is we were both into church planting.
Right.
And our denomination called us to evaluate potential church planters. And they put us in the same room
right.
for 3 days.
Right.
And what happened? We ended up talking and listening
yeah.
and sharing.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know,
but then
there's
we followed
connection.
Up.
We followed up.
And then
like,
we formed a new relationship.
And then we started a nonprofit together.
Yeah,
and
all
so,
of that. Yeah.
So all those things happen little by little. So when you're starting a ministry biz, whatever it is, you're going to sell coffee. You're going to go to churches and sell coffee. Or you're going to go to churches and sell Bible covers. It happens little by little.
It does.
It's getting to know the person. It's listening to their story. You know, you could come in and say, hey, I want to sell you Bibles. Look at my Bibles. Or you could start out with saying, hey, what do you do for... what do you give to people that come to your church that are visiting?
Right.
What do you do? And maybe I can help you and maybe I can't.
Right.
But instead of coming in with my solution to a problem you may or may not have, I listen to you first.
Do you feel that it's easy to defy that? I mean, I think a lot of us, I mean, that's what Facebook and I like being on, you know, social media and all of that. But I think there's some fool's gold that seems to be thrown out for people to defy little by little.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're just impatient. You know, we're used to, you know, microwave. You turn it on, yeah. Here it goes. We have instant rice.
Right.
You know, everything is fast and you know, we're on the move. We don't want to take the time. And... so
we want it quick.
We want it quick, but most good things like parenting takes a lifetime of being consistent,
right,
to actually turn out the child that you want to turn. But we want to do it like we ignore our kids for an entire year, and then we take them on a really great vacation.
Right.
We think we can make it up in 1 week.
Right. Even with a social media ministry that many of you have. Even there, it's little by little. But I wanted to talk about dynamic. So we've done Christian Leaders Church, and it's always amazing to me, like, how many people watch. But I always feel like that doesn't really count because I don't really know them.
Mm.
Now, in a sense, in social media, it is a different kind of relationship. But if I had the mentality even there, little by little... I believe we would be more effective because we have like a chat and a conversation. And I've noticed now that there's a certain amount of people who are drawn to it. You know, some people who are shut-ins who don't get out. And those are valid relationships in terms of they're no different than physical on one level, and they're different on another level. But even there, it's the little by little really makes a big difference.
Right.
Pastor Irwin, who's very connected with Christian Leaders Alliance, has a ministry online, and he has gathered other leaders to do online ministry, but it's still little by little, and he has seen that, and he does very well with that ministry.
Right. The tendency, I think, is to just, you know, pour into this person, then pour into that person, do this, do that. We're like scattered. And then, you know, our effectiveness is sort of watered down.
Right.
It's when you concentrate on a few people and you keep coming back to them over and over again that a relationship and a potential for ministry happens.
So really, why does it work?
Well, how does it?
Or how does it
work? How does...
I see how, not why.
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
So what we'll share is just sort of a basic outline of how... whether it's ministry, whether it's business, whether it's friendships, whether it's parenting, whatever, it doesn't matter. This is sort of how all things work. So first of all, there's the finding prospects.
Okay
so I don't have a wife and I need one. So I'm looking for a prospect.
Right.
So there's all these, you know, I went to Calvin College and there's all these different people. So how do I...
In a sense, the college is the contact manager there.
Yeah, managing a system or giving me the potential to do something. But now I need to find prospects. If you're starting a church, you don't have people. So how do you find people?
Yeah.
If you're starting a coffee shop, your coffee shop is no good if you don't have anyone walking into it.
Right.
How do you get people walking into your coffee shop? How do you get... how do you sell coffee to churches? How do you sell Bible covers? How do you do any business? How do you have any relationship?
Really, a matchmaking ministry is really a prospecting ministry because there's a lot of prospects you need to meet.
Right. So number two is, okay, you have to somehow connect.
Right.
So if we're talking about the dating system, you know, I saw my potential wife. She was walking into the cafeteria. She looked pretty good to me. I saw her earlier playing the piano, and that's one of the music was of value to me.
Right.
So here's this person that I really want to get to know, but how am I going to do that?
Right.
Right. There has to be a meeting of some sort.
Right. Right.
And I was kind of shy, so I talked to a friend of mine to talk to her roommate, to ask her roommate out, and then to ask her roommate to ask her out for me.
Right.
So there's a lot of different ways to set up the meeting. You know, if it's a coffee shop, how do you get people to actually come into your place?
Right.
If you're selling something, you know, you're, you know, I remember when you went out to Oregon, one of the things that you tried was, you know, you're Ryinga, I'm Elzinga. Those are Dutch names. And so you hauled out the telephone book. They had telephone books back then.
Yeah, yeah. White pages.
And you just looked up the Dutch names.
Yeah, like the ones I know, like Vander this and Vander that. Yeah.
So you just call and said, hey, I'm Dutch, you're Dutch. I'm starting a church. What do you think? I mean, it was your way to get into the door.
Yeah, invite them over to our
house. So then
we had a cookout.
Right.
The guy became the treasurer of our church, and both of them became new Christians.
Right. Yeah. So, but if you had just talked to them on the phone and didn't somehow go to that next step of saying, hey, can we meet?
Right.
Can we go golfing? Can we play tennis? The neighbor that we got to come to our church in Vancouver, who then got like 20 families to come to our church.
Right, right.
But the first time was, let's play tennis together, husband and wife.
Right.
And then they came over. So it's some kind of a meeting. It's some kind of a connection. So you're first looking. You're trying to find ways to, you know, and there's marketing, there's Facebook ads, there's all these different ways of finding prospects.
Well, in a lot of ways, Christian Leaders Institute, you found us probably maybe through a Google search or a Bing search or maybe on Facebook. So that's, you know, in a sense, finding prospects. We are finding prospects. You, a prospect who are interested in a ministry dream. But ultimately, we set up a meeting. Well, the getting started class sets, you know, it's a meeting. Now we're going to start the talking, listening,
and
relationship.
And because we've been meeting often, you know, when we've traveled around Africa, wherever go, we meet people that we've never personally met, but we already have a connection.
We do.
Because we've been meeting already.
Yes.
All right, so number three, ask for a commitment.
Hmm.
In other words, we're not just meeting, we're trying to get to a point where we can actually help you with something.
Right.
So, in sports, you know, I play pickleball, you know, I meet someone and then, you know, we're talking, but then, hey, do you want to play a game? In other words, it's sort of a commitment to join, to be a part of something. Now, that may not happen right away. It may take a long time, but people actually are looking for this.
Yes.
You're actually asking them to be a part of something. It's like you're inviting them in.
Right.
So not to think of it like sales.
Right.
I want to make some money, so I'm trying to sell you this thing.
Like transaction. You're interested in.
I am inviting you into the thing.
Right.
I'm inviting you into this. It's like a bunch of people are doing some fun thing, and you're standing there on the outside, and I'm coming to you. Hey, who are you? What are you? Hey, would you like to join us with this fun thing?
Right, right. Like, you want to join us to be a co-influencer of others.
Yes.
You know, that we want to give you an opportunity to know who you are in Christ and impact your own family.
So don't think about it like I'm pushing you to do my thing.
Right.
I am inviting you to be a part of something. Most people are lonely. They're not a part of things.
Right.
Most guys especially don't have a really good friend.
Right.
Most people are living quiet lives of desperation. They have relationships with television shows and movies, and they're living a vicarious life somewhere else because no one invites them.
Right. Wow.
All right, number four. If a client is committed or if they accept your invitation, set up a follow-up meeting to discuss the next step. Number five. Let's go to number five.
Okay.
If a client is not sure, set up a follow-up meeting to discuss further. So, in other words, this is that whole contact management thing. That little by little by little, we get there. But a lot of times, we do the first thing, and then we drop the ball.
Right.
Even discipleship in churches. People will do the first thing. They'll invite. They'll come to church. They go to the introductory class on becoming a member. And after that, everything is dropped.
Right.
People grow little by little.
Now, I want to bring up a previous discussion and apply it here as well. This is why it's essential not to do a mission-oriented as opposed to an indigenous-oriented approach in your philosophy and passion and your talking to people. Because if you like do a mission one, you likely will not invite someone at the soup kitchen that you ministered there to your house to use your bathroom.
Right.
I'm just being very practical
here.
Yes,
exactly.
However, if, let's say, you're part of like a little golf, you know, golf group, or you're part of pickleball, or you're part of, you know, a library group, and you're laughing together, and it is likely that you will create a proximity to invite that person to your house.
Yes. Right. So if you, you know, the whole goal here is to develop a relationship.
Yes.
And if ultimately you're working with people that you're never going to want to have a relationship with, then you're doing the mission thing. Yeah. I am doing this to you, poor person, but I'm really not inviting you in my life. And you know what? People figure that out.
Yeah, they do.
How many people end up going to a church, they're there for 6 months, and after 6 months they go, you know, this church is really, really friendly, but I still don't know anybody.
I don't know anybody.
I've not been to anybody's house. No one invites me to anything. And so, you know, they're friendly on Sunday, but they really don't want those people in their life.
And I've noticed too, Steve, that when you have a kind of a mission attitude, the people that you reach in that way almost feel resentful. They feel like, you give me a fish, but you're not giving me a pole.
Right.
You say that we are a friendly church, but you lie to me.
Right.
I mean, this is a serious issue here, and Christianity has got into that trap again and again, and we have to stay out of that trap.
Right. And what we create is a dependent, right?
Yes.
So I'm helping you. I'm the person in charge, in control, and I'm helping you. And then you need the help, so you accept the help. And then 6 months later, you're like, how come we're not friends? But it's something that I created.
Right.
So then sometimes I have to tell people like that, you know, someone did that to them and they're in the church. I say, well, okay, what happened is you became a dependent.
Yes.
If you're a dependent, you're not a friend.
Right.
If you don't want to be a dependent, then you have to stop being a dependent.
Right.
Because friendship is built on mutual give and take.
Yes.
Right? We have a friendship. And it's give and take. We're not dependent. You're not my dependent. Like, I have to keep giving, but you never give back.
Right, right.
A friendship is always mutual.
Right.
If it's not, it's a dependent relationship.
Right.
And if it's a dependent relationship, it's tiring.
Yes.
Right? I can only have so many dependents.
Right.
And then you're done.
Right.
So it's better to actually work it towards friendships, you know, people that can, you know, and to help them so that they can be a help to others and a help to you.
Right. And at the contact manager place, something like this needs special attention, because I've even seen it where people, church planters, their contact manager system is for their mission. And then their indigenous thing is their own little, like, it just kind of goes where it goes, but there's not intentionality there.
Right. So the whole goal with contact management, again, is to create relationships towards a specific purpose, which is your ministry. So you know, getting a sense of what you want to do and who you want to reach is the key.